You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast. This is Ben Wolf, your host. And I want to welcome everybody. This is the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators, a fractional COO firm that I founded with a great team of people who've owned and run businesses, owned or run businesses before. And if you need help in your operations, we have some great resources that you can get on our website at wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. We've got a roadmap, which is a simplified version of the one that our team members use with our clients to help them get their business from where they are now to where they want to be. Some other great resources like the first chapter of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach, about fractional executive leadership in general, that you can get access to for free through there, and some other good resources. Again, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today on the topic of how to scale through franchising. It's a very, very interesting topic to me. We've had guests in the past talking more from the franchisee side. And so something that's a very interesting topic today. Get into introducing our guest. She is the founder of Lori Karpman and Company. She has been a franchisor herself twice, including being the master franchisee of, master franchisee of Pizza Hut for 9 years in Quebec. She is a consultant for both franchisors and franchisees, primarily franchisors. She is also a master copywriter, has a copywriting service. You can find out more about her at LoriKarpman.com. That's Karpman with a K, LoriKarpman.com. And welcome, Lori. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Ben. It's nice to be here.
And I appreciate it. And I would love it when we get into this topic of scaling through franchising. I know you've helped tons of businesses on the franchisor side, people who want to scale through franchising. If you can give us a quick 2-minute background, I know it's hard to condense it, but a quick 2-minute background in terms of like where you came from and how we got to be talking about this topic of scaling through franchising today.
Sure. So I started my career as a tax lawyer. And after about 7 years, I got a call from a friend of mine who was the vice president of a company, and they were looking for in-house legal counsel. So I took that job and I went to work with them for 10 years and was very interesting because they were in the franchising space. They had one brand where they were the franchisor and then another brand where they were the master franchisee. So it was very interesting for me because I sat on both sides of the fence. So, you know, in one of our companies, I was the franchisor, and another one, I was the franchisee. And so I really got a really good understanding of how franchising should work for everybody to be happy and make money. So I took that knowledge. I left that company after 10 years, and I co-founded a chain of restaurants that I subsequently franchised. And then 5 years later, I sold the company to a U.S. development group. So at that point, I was like in my early 40s. And it's like, okay, well, what am I going to do with my life now that I'm grown up? And I looked at my skill set and I said, well, what do I know? I know franchising. I know the marketing. I know the legal. I know the finance. You know, I know the operations. And so what I did was I opened a full service consulting firm, franchise management consulting firm. And we are a full service company. So brands come to us because they want to franchise their business. We handle every single aspect of the, you know, of franchising their business. So we actually create the franchisor.
Mm-hmm. And so getting into that, for those who are thinking of how should I scale, you know, through fully internal growth, you know, through what some other method, who is like, what are the qualifications or markers of somebody that's good to scale their business through franchising as opposed to some other method?
Deciding to franchise your business is a financing decision. So if you want to scale your business, let's say you want to open 10 locations in the next year. Let's say for argument's sake, they cost $100,000 each. If you want to open 10 locations corporately, you have to go to the bank. You're going to borrow $1 million. You're going to have debt and interest, and you're going to have to operate. You're going to have to find, build, and operate 10 locations. So now you have a huge staff, you have a huge payroll, all of the issues that go with it. Alternatively, you find 10 people that each have $100,000 each, and you teach them to do what you do. And that's the franchise model. So the franchise model, like I say, it's a financing decision. If you're a brand and money is no object, you may not want to franchise. You may want to do it corporately. But if you want to grow your business using other people's money, franchising is the only model that lets you do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you have investors also, but and who would be, so that's sort of as a general principle, but like, who would you say is a good candidate for expanding through franchising? And who would you say is a less ideal or less likely to be successful candidate for their business to scale through franchising?
Businesses that have a process that can be replicated and that you could easily teach someone how to do, those are the kinds of business that can be franchised. So if you need really high level skilled labor, or you're a restaurant where you need, you know, a $75,000 executive chef, those aren't the kind of businesses that are going to do mm-hmm. well as a franchise model. So you have to have something where you can say, I did this, it's making money, here's my system, follow the system and you'll make money too.
Right. So relatively simple, easy to teach, replicable process.
And right.
Highly skilled labor, not so good for franchising.
No.
If that's key.
Yeah.
And can you say more when you're speaking about how franchising is really a form of financing? Can you speak more about that? Because I don't think people normally think of it in that particular box. I mean, I know they know that aspect of it, but they don't necessarily put it in that box in their heads. Why is it important right. to put it in that box in your heads? And can you say more about that?
Sure. So if you were to go and borrow the $1 million yourself, so you have two options. You borrow $1 million, you build and manage 10 locations. We all know what that looks like. That's a corporate expansion. They have more than one location. We know what that looks like. For smaller franchisors, they don't have the money to build those 10 locations, nor do they have the ability, because of their credit, they don't have the ability to borrow that kind of money, or they just don't want to have that kind of debt.
Right.
So it becomes a question, well, how do I grow my business? So by finding 10 other people who have $100,000 that they invest in your business, what you're doing is you're basically saying, give me $100,000 and I will teach you to do what I do. And then you'll go off on your own location and make money. So the beauty is that each location is being managed by the owner. If you do it corporately, it's the corporation that has to manage all of the locations. So when you think about it as a financing decision, you think either I borrow $1 million and I do it myself, then I've got $1 million of debt plus interest. And, you know, it doesn't make my financial statements look really nice. Or you go and you say, no, I'm going to use other people's money to build my business. So I'm going to find franchisees, and the franchisees are going to give me $100,000 each to invest in my business. And so there you don't have debt. You don't have interest on that. You're using the money that other people have that are investing in your business to grow your business.
So that's interesting. I mean, I was watching somebody on LinkedIn recently. It was a big guy in franchising, and the way he was speaking, it made it sound like a lot of people who are franchisors are sort of starting their franchise at the same time as they're starting a new business. It's not like they've been doing this for 10 years or 5 years and they have three locations and it's like fully, you know, proven. But a lot of times people seem like they're starting new businesses as franchisors. Have you seen this? Like, where does that fit in, and how could that work if it hasn't yet been, you know, sort of like proven through, you know, years of experience in this particular business?
Right. There's different ways. I'll give you an example. So my chain of restaurants, normally before you can franchise your business, you need to be able to show 2 years of profitability, because you have to show proof of concept. People need to know it works. So to work with me, you need to have been profitable for 2 years.
Okay.
I just lost my train of thought.
I was asking about starting a new business that's right. also a franchise.
So an example, exactly. So the best example I can give you is my own. So I started my restaurant chain, and 6 months later, after I'd opened my first location, after 6 months, the business was doing so well and was profitable after 6 months, I started selling franchises. Usually you can't do that because you don't have proof of concept, but our numbers were just so outstanding that we were able to do that. But when we started our business, we knew that we were going to franchise later. And that's really important to know that at the beginning, because then it makes a big difference on how you set up your sources of supply, on the location of your suppliers. You know, you have to make sure, for example, if you're a restaurant, that, you know, someone in Arkansas can get the same dishes that, you know, someone has in Texas. So there's considerations that you have to make if you're going to, if you foresee that you're going to franchise your business later.
Now, I know you said you were in-house counsel on franchise, on both sides, franchise or franchisee. You got an attorney background, which is interesting for me because I was a corporate bankruptcy attorney before going into this. So I'm certainly interested in the legal angle. But what impact in your practice or on your clients does it have that you also have this legal background in it, not just as an expert and an experienced practitioner, you know, of growth through franchise?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's very huge, because the way I draft a franchise agreement is very different from the way a traditional lawyer will draft a franchise agreement.
So you legally represent your clients? You write? Okay. So it's not like unofficially. Okay.
No. We represent. So we do all their legal work. So we'll get them set up. We'll do their franchise agreements, their non-disclosure, their sublease agreements and guarantees, whatever they need. We do all of their legal work. Then from there, we go on and we do their financial work. So they need, the franchisor needs financial statements. So we go on and we do that. So we set everything up, on every aspect, legals, operations, development. So we do give legal advice. Yeah.
Interesting. And what is the, you know, when somebody's coming to you and, hey, can you help me set up, you know, can you help me franchise, you know, grow through franchising? What are the criteria that you look for when you're assessing, hey, is this person going to be successful? Can you say more about like the factors and markers that are going to show that they're going to be successful and that you would, you know, you would want them, they would inure to your favor reputationally in the future in their effort to grow through franchising?
The first thing I look at is the personality of the owner, of the creator of the concept, because it takes a special kind of person to be a franchisor. Because what you have to realize is that, let's say we're talking about a restaurant, because that's something that everybody can understand. We're talking about a restaurant, and you are the franchisor. Okay. It's important that the person have a franchisor mentality. So the restaurant business is what the business that the franchisees will be in. Okay. The original owner who becomes a franchisor is now in the franchise business. He's not in the restaurant business anymore. And that's a lot of people have a hard time making that jump from being in the restaurant business to managing a group of people who are in the restaurant business. That's the biggest thing that I look for, is what kind of franchisor are you going to be? Are you going to help out your franchisees? Are you going to be a dictator? You know, how flexible are you? So, you know, what kind of interpersonal skills do you have that will help you grow your system? So first I do a real analysis. I actually do an evaluation, an assessment called a Colby assessment, to see whether or not these people are going to be good as franchisors. Then I look at the concept. So I look at, does it have a system? And if it does have a system, even if it's not documented, because often it's not documented, as long as they have one, we can document it. They have to be able to have a business that they can train other people to do. So it has to be something like flipping burgers, you know, something that's really simple where you don't need highly skilled labor. Because highly skilled labor is very hard to find, and there's always labor shortages. If you're using with minimum wage labor, it's much easier to replace. And then I look at the profitability, and I, you know, look at their financial statements and assess their financial statements and see, will the franchisees make enough money that they'll make back their investment, plus they'll make a little bit more than making a living. So I look at it from I look at the people, I look at the process, and I look at the profits.
What Colby profile are you looking for a franchisor?
Are you, I guess, you know, Colby.
I'm familiar with it. I mean, I'm a, you know, 8851.
Oh my God. I'm an 8861.
Oh, that's funny. We're very much alike.
We have like the same Colby. Right. Yeah. The score of a Colby is going to be someone who's going to have a high fact finder. So they're going to do a lot of research. They're going to have a low tolerance to risk. So you know that they're going to stay within the box. Mm. Right. They are usually
you're looking for a lower quick start.
I'm sorry.
So you're looking for a lower quick start for a franchisor? Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm looking for a lower quick start. And I'm looking for someone on the implementation scale that's between a 1 and a 5. So I'm looking for someone who's a visionary, but also has the ability to implement and to see what kind of systems and procedures are going to be required. So those are the kinds of things that I look for. So like an 8661 or 8662 is a perfect Colby score for an entrepreneur.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can you share a story or two, maybe some recent clients, what kind of, you know, maybe a variety of, you know, one or two different types of businesses who, you know, came to you, who you've helped, like, what was their story? What was their business like before? You know, how did you help them set up the franchise and what happened?
Sure. So, I have one of my favorite brands. I'm not going to reveal the names for confidentiality reasons. Sure. And she had a lash store where they do permanent lashes and they do false eyelashes and stuff like that. And when she came to me, she had one location, that was doing very well, but she had such an outstanding concept. The branding that she had done, the branding, the marketing, the systems, all the stuff that she had done was top notch. So it was easy for me to be able to take them and to grow them, you know, within the first year from, you know, one location to 5 locations. So it's a pretty,
they only had one location before they, yes, before they created their franchise. They didn't, correct, already have some replication. They had zero, no, replication.
Zero. She had a corporate location that she'd had for a year. But the numbers coming out of that were like, they were like telephone numbers. I mean, the numbers were great. Her branding, her marketing, the stuff that she had done was great. And she had a system that was not documented, but that we could easily document. So we went in, we did their legal documents, we did their marketing and their website. And then we rolled out, a franchise recruitment campaign. And we're able to get her from 1 to 5 franchises within the first year, which is pretty outstanding because normally a brand will only sell maybe 1 to 3 franchises in its first year because it takes 6 months. Once you start deciding your franchising, it takes 6 months before you're actually selling. So, you know, within 6 months, we were able to get her 4 franchisees. That's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah. How do you sell? Like, how does that happen? How do you find those 5 franchisees? Like, how, as a franchisor, you're not like in this, like, you're not like in this social milieu of the franchising world, like, until, right, then. So how are you selling these franchisees? How are you finding these franchisees and earning enough trust to, you know, especially when they don't have any other franchisees they could talk with, like in that story, right, to sell?
I do, when I take on and I onboard a new client, I do what's called a strategic marketing plan, which is a plan, it's a roadmap. And it's based on the premise that if money were no object, what would I do to sell these franchises? And so it contains things like going onto franchise portals, doing franchise seminars, running LinkedIn or Facebook ads, writing blogs, you know, all of those, I just lost the screen. Here we go. All of those kinds of things will generate interest and will generate leads. So we put it's our contact information that's in there, not the clients, it's ours. And they contact us and we vet them. So we determine whether or not that candidate is going to be a good candidate for the brand that they're looking at in particular. And if they are, we send them off to the franchisor to be evaluated and approved. If they're approved, they come back to me and we send them all the legal documents and we then take it to closing the transaction. So I advertise for clients on portals, local organizations. I go to chambers of commerce. Like if I'm interested in a particular city, I go to the chamber of commerce of that city because they know who the big investors are. Mm-hmm. I can also market, you know, to the members of the chamber of commerce and the members in the community. So what we do is very specific because we don't do anything shotgun. Everything is very specific to that brand that we're representing. So we don't just say, are you looking to buy a franchise? Call us. We're saying, are you looking to buy a Grokin franchise? Call us.
Right. That's so interesting. So you're giving your clients like a budget and here, you know, here's what the whole thing's going to cost. So they know in advance how much they have to come up with for this whole process to create the franchise, the legal, the marketing, the sales support that you guys do. That's so interesting. That's so interesting. You share one more story?
Yeah, sure. So I had this young couple that came to me that had a beautiful story. They had no money, but they had a beautiful story. Unfortunately, they had lost a child and they created this chain of cookie dough and ice cream franchises, well, restaurants at that point, you know, for him in his memory. And had decorated with pictures of him and his colors and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And they came to me and they had really no budget. But I was so moved by their story that I said, I decided to work with them. So I put together, they again had nothing. So we did the legals, we did the operations, we did the financials, we did the marketing, we did the sales. Oh. And then ultimately they went from 1 to 3 units in the first year. So within... They had their one location, which they'd had for a couple of years and was very profitable. So they already had a system that wasn't documented. Again, they already had a good system. And that's what I'm looking for, brands that have a good system, documented or not. Mm-hmm. So we were able to grow them, you know, to 3 locations within the first year.
That's so interesting. Look, I appreciate this. I've certainly learned a lot. I mean, in terms of having sort of easily replicable, easily trainable, not necessarily reliant on highly skilled talent in order to be able to grow, which is always in shortage, as being some of the keys to franchising, as looking at it as a means of financing rather than just as a means of scaling alone. So truly, truly appreciate this. Again, people can find out more about you at lauriekarpman.com. Any place else that people should reach you or that you'd like
they
to
can find me
with?
On LinkedIn. They can find me on Lori Cartman on LinkedIn or my website, LoriCartman.com.
Awesome. All right. LoriCartman.com. Thank you so much for making the time. I found this very interesting and enlightening and I truly appreciate it. Thank you for making the time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thanks.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.